Hello, everybody. All right, let's open up with prayer and then we can get started here. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for this night that you've given us, Lord, where we can come here and worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. Pray that you give me strength tonight as I open your word and handle it, Lord. Pray that you give me the words to say and understanding in your scriptures, Lord. I pray that the people are edified and encouraged through it, Lord. Pray these things in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been thinking about a lot of things lately, and I'll be mostly preaching to myself here, but I hope that you are all encouraged by this as I was. I'm thinking of all the crazy things that are happening, whether it be my life personally, current events, atrocities here, or atrocities there, the whole world in general. No matter where you look or turn, you are faced with some kind of reminder and have no choice but to acknowledge the fallen state of this world. This world is a truly terrible place, overflowing with evil. And being human, it can be overwhelming every day, having to deal with so much evil, especially when you know the truth. Satan has tricked this world into believing his lies, which we know all started in the garden. After all, as evil is sin, there is no better starting place than where sin and evil began. To my detriment, I am a very logical person and cause myself to stumble more times than I'd like to admit. When as believers, we should be looking at things through a spiritual lens rather than a logical one. There is nothing wrong with being logical, of course. After all, how could we exist without it? However, when we try to figure out the world through a logical lens, you will fail, miss the point, and are forced to realize, wait a second, the spiritual answers are the only ones that make sense. And the only impact I'm going to have on this world is through spiritual means and not logical ones. Instead of trying to find the answers ourselves in our pride, we should humble ourselves and search the Lord for his answers and direction. All that being said, we should not be putting all of our focus on this fallen world, getting depressed, developing a woe is me attitude, I'm all alone, I'm by myself on this island, surrounded by evil, where is the Lord, how do we win? If you find yourself asking, where is the Lord, I would argue that you haven't searched very hard. It's easy to find him if you know where to look. I'll give you a hint. It's the Bible. There is one good thing in this evil world of ours, though. Because in truth, it is overflowing with evil, and it is overwhelming. But this reality forces us to acknowledge that there is no way to survive this world without the Lord. It forces us to find our way to him, find comfort in him and his truth. Our blessed hope is the Lord's return and an eternity in heaven worshiping him. That is the ultimate comfort and something that I know for me personally should be sharing that perfect comfort more often with others in this world. After all, this is our mission and the reason we are here to carry out the Great Commission. So tonight I want to talk about that comfort that we can find in the Lord and the faith required to access that comfort. King David felt a lot of the emotions that I laid out seconds ago. So let's go to Psalms and see how David got his comfort when he was faced with never-ending evil in his life. We're going to go to Psalm 71. That'll be our passage today, even though we're going to be everywhere. Okay, we're going to read the whole thing. Hopefully work our way through each verse. See what happens. Bible says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust for my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken me, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto I have declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hast done great things, O God, who is like unto thee. Thou, which hast shown me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness, and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp. O thou Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Although there is no title to this psalm, we know through teaching that David is to be the presumed author and known as the sweet psalmist of Israel. If you look at verse 22 of the same chapter that we're in, it helps support this. It says, I will praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth. The context of the psalm shows a man looking to the Lord for comfort and salvation, a specialty of David's. David has gone through many trials and tribulations throughout his life, and each time was forced to God for salvation and comfort and answers. A lot of these times are recorded here in these psalms. He had tremendous faith that the Lord would deliver him. And if we look to the Lord for comfort and yet have no faith that he can cover us, hold on, let me re-say that. He had tremendous faith that the Lord would deliver him. If we look to the Lord for comfort and yet have no faith that he can comfort us, it would be as if you never turned to the Lord for comfort in the first place. This is not David, and he corroborates his faith throughout Psalms with both thankfulness to the Lord's deliverance and also through urgent prayer for the Lord's deliverance. He showed tremendous faith that the Lord would deliver him throughout the Psalms. But let's take a look at some trials that David had to endure, which caused him to reach out to the Lord. First thing I want to go to is 2 Samuel chapter 20. Looking at some of David's trials here. Verses 1 through 2. Bible says, and there happened to be there a man of Belial, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjaminite, and he blew a trumpet and said, we have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel. So every man of Israel went up after David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah clave unto their king, from Jordan even to Jerusalem. There are multiple instances throughout King David's reign where he was faced with revolts, coups, and conspiracy. Here we see this man named Sheba who started a conspiracy against David. This resulted in every man of Israel rising up against David and placing their allegiance toward Sheba. Despite the encouragement of Judah remaining by the king's side, David was left with no choice but to rely on the Lord for deliverance. Another passage we can go to is 2 Samuel 21. Verse 1, then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. We see that David also had to deal with famine in the land as well. This famine lasted 3 years and forced David to go to the Lord for answers. David might not have liked the Lord's response, but nevertheless, the Lord answered. Same chapter. Verse 15, we'll read 15 through 17 actually. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down, and his servants with him, and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. And Ishbi-benob, which was the sons of the giant, the weight whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, and have girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zariah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. War was an ever-present part of David's reign. We even see here that David almost didn't make it. Nevertheless, war was something that was promised to David. If we go to 2 Samuel 12, we can see the context of how that came to be. Verses 9 through 15. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine own eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with the wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, and I will do this thing before all of Israel and before the sun. Because of David's sin with Bathsheba, and although the Lord forgave him of this sin, David still had to suffer the consequences of his actions. This passage also brings out another trial that David had to suffer, the personal loss of his child. Also something to point out here, if we continue reading through 16 through 20, David went to the Lord fervently and beseeched him about the life of his child. However, the Lord's will was for the baby to die. We see that David did not fight this and harbor bitterness and hate in his heart toward the Lord, but immediately went to worship the Lord after his prayer was answered. It wasn't the answer David wanted, and yet he still worshiped. This is a good lesson for us when we go through trials. Will we harbor bitterness towards the Lord, or diligently worship him and follow his will for our lives? Now let's go to our passage, Psalm 71. We'll read verses 1 and 2 to start. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. David has tremendous faith in the Lord's guaranteed deliverance. We see he puts his trust in him, pleading with the Lord to incline his ear unto him. We can also look at Psalm 31:1. Verse 1, it says, In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Now here we see a psalm that actually does have David as the author. He asks for the same thing, and we also see the similar nature in David's writing, further bolstering our claim that David is the author of Psalm 71. David's proclaiming of the Lord's righteousness seems to be a theme in this psalm. We can see in verse 15, back in Psalm 71, by the way. Sorry. Verse 15, it says, My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Verse 16, where it says, I will make mention of thy righteousness. Verse 19, Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. And verse 24, My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. Are we proclaiming the Lord's righteousness in our life such as David is? Verse 3. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. David must speak from some kind of experience. As we know, he was running and seeking refuge from multiple different bad actors in his life, whether it be Absalom or Adonijah or others. We can go over to Psalm 31 again. think I hit Psalm 31 a couple more times, but verses 2-3. Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Again, we see David proclaiming the Lord as his rock and fortress and his safety. Verses 4 and 5, back in Psalm 71. Keep working through this. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Here we see David reminding the Lord that this is not David's first rodeo, but has been putting his hope and trust in the Lord for deliverance out of the hand of the wicked, unrighteous, and cruel since the days of his youth. Amen. We can go to Psalm 140. We'll read verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart continually. Are they gathered together for war? They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings. Here we have another psalm where David is the author, by the way. But again, if we look at verse 4, David continues his theme of inquiring the Lord for deliverance. In the book of Jeremiah, we see confirmation that David is putting his trust in the right person. We can really quick take a look at that. And we'll read verse 7. 17:7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. We can also look at verse 17 in the same chapter. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. The Lord can be the only hope for us. Nothing else. Back in our passage, Psalm 71, verse 6. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. David acknowledges the presence of the Lord since he was in his mother's womb, and knows that he is deserving of praise forever. We can turn to Psalm 22 to further establish this point. We'll read verses 9 through 11. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. The Lord has always been with David, and because of this, the Lord is deserving of praise and glory. Going on to verse 7. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. No doubt people were perplexed how David could handle all the trials and tribulations in his life. But for those that do not have a saving relationship with God, will be confused. Or as the verse says, a wonder. They could not understand David's personal strong refuge he had with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4:9 says that I should have marked all these, but struggle with you guys. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. It is good that people question our faith, It gives us an opportunity to be a good testimony and example to the world. The world's logical mindset can't wrap their mind around this truth, but they will nevertheless be impacted by how we lead our walk with the Lord. Verse 8 in our passage. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. David continues to stress the importance of keeping our mouths filled only with praise and honor for our Lord each day, all day. Psalm 35:28 says, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. We'll read verses 9 through 11. Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they lay wait for my soul, take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. David was not the youthful strong man he once was, and recognized he needed the Lord now more than ever. His enemies were conspiring against him and working together to do so. They saw David's weakness in his old age and thought there was a way to wedge themselves in between his relationship with the Lord and discourage him. Whether we are a child or an old man, our hope in the Lord remains the same. Verses 12 through 15 we'll read. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. David pleads with the Lord not to be far from him in this time of need. And surprisingly, this is not the first time. In Psalm 22:11, he says, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. In verse 19 of the same chapter, he says, but be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Psalm 35:22 says, this thou hast seen, O Lord, keep not silence, O Lord, be not far from me. Psalm 38:21, David says, forsake me not, O Lord, O my God, be not far from me. In verse 15 of our passage, David continues the theme of showing forth righteousness to the Lord with our mouths. And we know from Jeremiah, this is our duty to do so. If we go to Psalm 45, I saved you guys on those ones, now we got to turn. The Bible says, Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned upon up in order unto thee if I would declare and speak of them. They are more than can be numbered. We can see David's thankful heart to the Lord. When the Lord answers prayers and delivers us from tribulations in our lives, are we thankful to him and praising him for what he has done for us? Back in our passage, 16 through 19, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? David continues to testify the righteousness of the Lord. It's all he wants to do, his only desire. He continues to expound how the Lord has been with him from his youth to his old age and petitions the Lord not to forsake him, yet he needed more time to proclaim the righteousness of the Lord to the world. Not only was this David's desire, but he also knew that he was commanded to. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, we'll read verses 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Hopefully, we have a desire to uphold this teaching just as David had. In verses 20 through 21, the Bible says, thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. David knew it was for his benefit that the Lord had given him the trials and tribulations, and acknowledged that each and every time the Lord would bring him up again from the pit of despair. How we handle a trial affects everyone around us. We need to be like David and acknowledge that trial is for our benefit and could put us in positions to be an even greater witness to the world. Verses 22 through 24. I will also praise thee with the psaltery. Even thy truth, O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. David exemplifies the name of the Lord and his righteousness through his psalms. He finds comfort in this. And as we know, David was praising the Lord's name all the day long. And this was a very good thing. We'll look at Psalm 92. Verses 1 through 4. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in thy works of thy hands. The Lord was the reason for his song and should be the reason for our song as well. So what are we going to do when we are faced with trials, tribulation, heartbreak, betrayal, whatever it may be? Will you have faith and find your comfort in the Lord, the only place where it can be found? Will we proclaim the name of the Lord and his righteousness through these tough times? Or will we play the victim card? After all, everyone is doing it these days. It's very easy to hop on that bandwagon. Will you harbor bitterness towards the Lord and seek your comfort in the things of this world? Whatever that may be for each of us personally does not matter. You will find zero comfort in your sin and vices, but only fall further and further from your relationship with the Lord. Amen. Separation from the Lord only reaps more sorrow, more heartache, and dare I say, loss of rewards in heaven. Amen. Without the Lord, we become overwhelmed by this world, and we will fail. The evil beset on us from all sides forces us to grow closer with the Lord and find comfort in him. Let's have a song in our heart, as David did, singing praises to God through the difficulties in our life and be a witness unto the world by doing so.